If you got a flyer here, brochure, there's some announcements. Let me make them. Nobody told me what to announce, so it's up to me. All right. Okay, we have a kids' night here. There's invitations by the door. If you have kids, younger, especially we're aimed at younger kids, right? No? All kids. What? Elementary school is the target audience. But you know, Jesus said, become as little children, so we're all qualified. All right, so kids' night is that Friday, December the 12th. If you have kids, your friends have kids, relatives have kids, please invite them, encourage them to come. Lots of activities and a good program. We need volunteers to help. Is Dennis here? No, Dennis is not here. Is Jane here? Jane's downstairs. Okay, afterwards, catch Jane. If you don't know Jane, ask. Somebody will direct you. We need volunteers to help with the games, with activities. If you can bring refreshments, savory, sweet, whatever. What? Finger food. Whatever you can eat with your fingers. That's a lot of things. All right, bring it. Okay, so that's December the 12th. December 14th is the Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. It tells you there. We're going to talk about that later. You know, this is the last day of November. Tomorrow's December. Last month of the year. Yeah, on one hand, people are busy. On the other hand, people have more time. They're out of their usual schedule. This is a good time for you when you have extra time. Please use that time. Get involved. In the middle there, we have on the sheet, it tells you small groups, cell groups, Bible study groups, whatever you want to call them, is on the list, right? There's a list right there. If you've never been, pick one. If you've been, maybe you want to go to that one. Try another one, right? Whatever night of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? There's something. Join in, participate, and we got more things going. All right. Well, I think I've done, right? Did I not? Okay, that's enough. All right. So, all right. We're starting our series. There you go. So that's what the flyer looks like, and that's the info on that. Okay, we began a series. This is message number 4. We began a series. This is new for us, all of us. It's new for us speaking, new for you. We began a series on the minor prophets. That's the most unread part of the Bible. It's the last section of the Old Testament, but we're doing it. Are you ready for a challenge? Good. The challenge is the minor prophets, right? Because you're not that familiar. It's in the Bible. It's an important part of the Bible. There are things there which we need. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable. All scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. The parts you know, the parts you don't know, it's all profitable. So it's all from God and all applicable. Right, to us today in a certain way. So we're trying to do that. Okay, we did Jonah for 2 weeks. We're moving on to do Amos. Right, if you don't know where it is in your Bible, look in the index. Most of us have to do that to find it because we're not that familiar. Okay, this is Amos, right, which we're doing our title today. We have a title, I think. Yeah, okay. Right, here's one view. We're doing chapters 1 to 5. Next week we'll go on, 6 and on. Okay, what is the key thought we'd like to present to you today? What is the message of Amos? We don't want you to get lost among the trees. You got to see the woods get an overview. What's the point? The point is this, that a right relationship goes with a right living and a right community. A right relationship with God leads to right living. Right relationship with God goes together with, leads to right living by you and I. And a right living by you and I goes together with a right community. The right kind of community, the kind of community that God wants, the kind of community that we want, and the kind of community that expresses God. So right relationship with God, that's between you and me and God. That right relationship leads us to right living, the way we treat one another, the things we do, the things we don't do, the things we choose to do, not do, right? Those things, right living. But individually, with our family, a right living goes together with a right community, a right society. Okay? So when relationships right, living should be right, community's right, that's what we want, God wants. On the other side, when those are wrong, they all tend to be wrong together. You get them right, they're all should be right. You get them wrong, they're all wrong. Wrong community, wrong society goes with wrong living, wrong relationship. Wrong relationship, wrong living, wrong community. Okay? So think about that in relationship to what we're going to cover in Amos. When you read Amos, hold that thought. Right? I think that will help us. What was Amos' point? Amos' point was to say, he pointed out to Israel, he's a prophet to Israel, saying, your society's wrong. Your community's wrong. Wrong things are going on. It's not the kind of community society that God wants or you want. There's problems. Why? There's problems in your community, in your society. Why? Because your living's wrong. Why is your living wrong? Your relationship with God is wrong. Community is wrong, living's wrong, and relationship is wrong. How do you know relationship's wrong? Look at your community. What does God want to restore, revive, save us? Have right relationship, right living, right community. That's the thought we want to pick up. All right? You with me? Okay, let's go with that. All right, fasten your seatbelts, put your tray in the upright position, and here we go. Okay, Amos, I like Amos. Okay, Amos is a good, is well written. I like to read you briefly. He has a good style, good writing. And one part of it, which I like to give you as an introduction, it's chapter 3, but it's in the introduction. Chapter 3, 3 through 8, says the following. Amos was a shepherd. He knew, you know, how things worked in the countryside, right? So he uses that. He says, you know, we look at nature and we make associations. You know, if you have a guard dog, when the dog barks, what do you deduce? You have a guard dog. The dog barks. What do you deduce? Something's going on. When the dog barks, something happens. I have a dog. I put him out. I get up in the morning. I put him out on the balcony. It's still dark. He starts barking. Why? Something's going on. A raccoon is... Raccoon's raiding the garbage. It's climbing the tree. He's barking. The dog barks. Something's going on. You put those together. Association. Correlation. Okay. So Amos does things like that. He says to this, makes those relationships. Let me read it to you. Can two people walk together without agreeing on direction? Can two people walk together without agreeing on direction? If two people walk together, there's some agreement, concord. Does a lion roar without finding a victim? If the lion roars, he's caught something. Does a young lion growl without first catching his prey? A young lion growls, he caught the prey. Does a bird get caught in a trap which has no bait? A bird gets caught, it went for the bait. Does a trap spring shut when there's nothing to catch? No. The trap springs shut. Something's got in there. When the trumpet sounds a warning, aren't the people afraid? When the trumpet sounds, alarm, people are afraid. Does disaster come to a city unless God allowed it? The sovereign Lord does nothing without telling his prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Right? Where Amos lived, there were lions, wild lions. Right? around the countryside. He's a shepherd looking after sheep. He knew when the lion roars, something's going on. When the lion roars, something's in trouble. He uses that. The lion roars, something happened. God speaks, something's happening. God speaks, the prophet speaks. That's his point. He's putting a parallel. The lion roars, something's going on. God speaks, the prophet speaks. Amos is a prophet. He's speaking because God spoke. Right? So he uses this image. The lion roars. Amen. Right? Right? It's verse, I think it's verse 2. Have we got it? Yeah, there's a nice lion. I like it. Okay. So the introduction of Amos says, the words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, days of Jeroboam, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Right? Then he says, and he said, Amos says, the Lord roars. The Lord roars. He's using this image. The lion roars. The Lord roars. God is doing something. That's why the prophets are speaking. The lion roars. Something's going on. God speaks. Something's going on. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. God is speaking. God is speaking because he's going to do something. You better listen. This is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call to that God's people at that time. Wake up. Pay attention. The lion roars. Just a couple of notes here. The setting of Amos, we're about 750 BC. I think we have a map. Not that great. Okay. At that time, we're after Solomon, after David. So the kingdom of Solomon, David was divided. Southern part, Judah. Northern part, Israel. 2 tribes, 10 tribes, Israel and all. Amos is from the south. He's from this place called Tekoa, outside of Jerusalem. But God sent him to the north, to the Israel part. He's from Judah. God sent him to the other part, Israel, to speak to them. Right? So, you know, we talked about last week, for Jonah to go to Nineveh was a big step. For Amos from Judah to go to Israel is also a step. He's out away from home. He's not in his home base. He's in another place. They know he's not our people. Right? So Amos is speaking for God in Israel. It's the divided kingdom. Right? Jerusalem's in the south. Okay. Then the first part of Amos, you read chapter 1 into chapter 2. Is talking about, Amos is saying, God is going to judge, punish all the neighbors, all the surrounding nations. So you can see there, in the north, you got Phoenicia. In the top, you got Syria. Top left, then as now, Syria. On the right, today's Jordan, you got Ammon. Ammon, today's the capital of Jordan. You got the Ammon, you got Moab, you got Gaza, where the Philistines are. At that time, those surrounding nations and countries were hostile to Israel. They are today. So Israel then, as now, is surrounded by hostile nations. The first part of Amos, chapter 1, chapter 2, says God is going to judge. He's going to judge Syria. He's going to judge Damascus. He's going to judge Ammon. He's going to judge Moab. He's going to judge Gaza. He's going to judge Tyre, all the neighbors. God has judgment. And if you're in Israel, you would say, great, great. God's going to judge Syria. They need it. God's going to judge Ammon. Yeah, do it. God's going to judge Moab. Yes, go for it. God's going to judge Gaza. Amen. Right? You're for it. Then you read around, eventually God's going to judge Judah. Oh, that's our southern neighbor. Next, God is going to judge Israel. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. He's coming home. So that's the story. That's the way it goes. You know, Israel would feel, okay, yeah, God should judge those guys, these guys, the other guys. Yeah, they need it. God should discipline them eventually. in chapter 2, it comes back to Israel. That's what's happening. You know, and sometimes that happens with us. Sometimes we, you know, have you ever been an armchair judge? Have you ever been an armchair judge? You don't need a chair like that. You know, sometimes you're like me. You read the newspaper and you read about other places. You read something, you know, something's going on you don't like. You say, you know, there's these bad guys, ISIS over there. They're doing bad stuff. Judge them. Why doesn't somebody do something about them? They're bad. Bad things happening over there. Yeah. Somebody should do something. Bad things happening in Nigeria. You know, 200 schoolgirls got kidnapped, abducted. That's bad. People should do something about that. You know, bad things are happening over here. God should judge that. Somebody should judge that. You know, eventually, you got to ask, what about you? It's not just people over there. You know, we can do that. Even bad stuff happens in the U.S. We can say, yeah, they should fix that. Problems in the U.S., they should fix that. Eventually, then you got to ask, what about us? What about Canada? What about Toronto? What about us? What about our neighborhood? Things come back. That's the way it goes with Amos. Eventually, God comes around to Amos to talk about Israel. And the point is this. God starts out with their community, their society. How are you? What's happening among you in your society, in your community? Through Amos, God touches that. So I think we have the verses from chapter 2, verse 6. That will give you an idea. Okay, chapter 2, verse 6. Now he, after dealing with all the neighbors, chapter 2, verse 6, finally he comes to Israel. Thus says the Lord through Amos, for three transgressions of Israel, for four. I, God, will not revoke the punishment because they sell the righteous for silver. In Israel, among God's people, they sell the righteous for silver. Think about that. Joseph's brothers sold him. He was righteous into slavery. That was back then. This is now. They're selling the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. Somebody maybe owes them money, even a small amount. They're saying you can't pay. You got to pay with yourself. You sold into slavery, right? Servitude to pay the debt. Those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted. And so he goes on. He's saying, your society, look at the way. The rich are oppressing the poor. Though people in debt, people in trouble, are getting it put in more trouble, put in deeper debt. They're being oppressed. Their needs are not getting met. The way your society works, it's not expressing God. And that's the point. You know, Israel was God's people. And God tells them soon after this, he says, out of all the nations, I chose you, Israel, to be my special people. And I brought you out of Egypt. I saved you. I rescued you. I brought you and I gave you this land. You're a special people to me. You are my people. Because you are my people, I expect you to be different. You're a different people. God gave the law, and a lot of the law is to show them what kind of society and what kind of living they should have. They should have a living of righteousness, a living takes care of the poor, has provision for the needy, feeds the hungry, that kind of society. Why? Because that's the way God is. So the law says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's God's people. Love God. Love your neighbor. If you love your neighbor, you'll take care of him. He owes you a little bit of money. You won't insist on your pound of flesh. You won't exploit the poor. You'll have a certain living and a certain society will come out of being God's people, being right with God, right living, right society. There'll be mercy, kindness, righteousness, fairness, a certain kind of equality, not exploitation. Amos touches these things. The way you treat each other is not right. Your living's not right. You have exploitation. He touches particularly on sexual immorality, exploitation, right? He says, a man and his father go into the same girl, so my holy name is profaned. There's exploitation, sexual immorality, exploitation of women, girls, right? He touches that and other things. There's corrupt business practices. You change the scale. You make, you measure what you give small. You make the amount of money heavy. You demand more money for less product. That's exploitation. Brothers and sisters, you think about today. Look at today's society. Don't you see some of the same things? We do, right? You read the paper. What's in the news today? Sexual exploitation. Recently, celebrities using their celebrity status to exploit people. I won't give you examples. Just read the news, right? And then business exploitation, right? We don't have time to get into it. Wrong community, wrong living, wrong relationship with God. Amen. Jesus. So my holy name is, okay, and so on, right? We need to go, let me go forward. Okay, well, what is God's answer? So, that's the way it goes. Number one, you have wrong community, wrong the way you treat each other. Why? Because your living's wrong, because your relationship of God's people with him is wrong. What's the solution? Then the solution, you read forward in Amos, we need right relationship with God, will give us right living, right community. It goes all the way. So, go forward in Amos chapter 5. So, there's a long detail in what's wrong. Amos turns to chapter 5. He gets into the right relationship with God. He starts out with this. Chapter 5, he says, seek me and live. What's wrong? What's the solution? Seek me and live. Seek the Lord and live. Get your relationship right with God, then you'll live. That's the beginning of restoration. Then he says, don't go to Bethel. Don't go to Gilgal. They had religious places which had become corrupt. Don't go there. Seek God. Don't go with tradition. Don't go with what's corrupted. Seek the Lord himself. Seek God and live. Number two. Then he says, seek good. That's right relationship. Number two, he says, right living. Seek good and not evil, and the Lord will be with you. Out of right relationship, we should have right living. Seek the good, not the evil. Go for the good. Avoid the evil. Hate the evil. Right? And God will be with you. Number three, then he says, out of that comes right community. Right? So it says, establish justice in the gate. The gate was there where they decided decisions, who's right, who's wrong. They judge things and say, so you have seek me and live, seek the good, not the evil, right? And establish justice in the gate. Verse 24 is the most famous verse in Amos. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. There should be justice, righteousness, fairness, equality, right? Consideration, right? Between people, right? That's the kind of society that God wants by his people, right? And that's what God wanted then. Well, that's what God wants now among us. Amen. You know, we should be for these things. As Christians, we should take care of our relationship with God. We should take care of our living. Number three, we should take care of our community, the way we treat one another. Number four, we should ask ourselves how we can influence and testify to others. We are God's people. We are God's people. Among us, there should be a kind of community that expresses God. Other people cheat you. Other people lie to you. Other people try to take advantage of you. Okay, what do you and I do? How do we take care of others? Right? If we cheat, lie, whatever, we're doing the same as them. We should have a community among us which expresses God, righteousness, fairness, right? Consideration of one another, taking care of the disadvantaged, right? We should, if among us we have that kind of living, then among us, the way we treat others will be a testimony. We treat them the same way. Then like the song we sing, and the world will see that, and the world will see that. See what? Our God saves, our God saves. Okay, how will that happen? How will the world see? You say, oh, it will see because I sing. Maybe. Depends how you sing. Right? And the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. It will see because among God's people, there's a kind of living. Among God's people, there's a kind of community that expresses God. Amen. Right? That's how the world will see. Right? So, brothers and sisters, we should have that community. Praise the Lord. You know, it's great. We're in Toronto. Don't you like that? Remember last winter? Remember last winter? Well, guess what? The forecast for this winter is the same. Same. This winter is forecast to be a replay of last winter. So get ready. Okay? That is a great opportunity. What happened December 22nd last year? December 22nd. Ice storm, freezing rain. Right? That was a Saturday night. We had a Resound here, which went off, and we went home, and the power went out. The power went out. At least it went out at my house, right? Maybe it went out at yours. Okay, brothers and sisters, that is an opportunity for you and I, you know, to do what? Not just to care for yourself, right? Last year, some people lost power, some people didn't. Some people lost power for a long time, some people lost power for no time, some people lost power for a little time. Okay? Among us, we should have that community. You know, Canada came from Britain, this part of Canada, Upper Canada, it's very British. The British take care of themselves. Their family, they don't want to bother other people. So the power goes out. You huddle in your basement, light a candle. Right? You know, I hope we would have care. You know, brothers and sisters, can we be different? Don't be British. Don't be Chinese. Don't be Asian. Be a Christian. Right? That means what? It's not just about me, my family. It's about what? God's community. How will we express God's? You know, that was a great chance. Some people had power. Right? Electric power. There is power, power. No. We all got that kind of power. Right? But some people had electricity. And some people opened their home. That's a great opportunity. Right? Brother Ming, where is he? I think Brother Ming had, what, four families? Maybe had more, right? Brother Ming, you know, what's good? You know, that's great. People should see, you know, I lost power. Let me find out if Brother Ming has power. Oh, he does. Brother Ming, I like to come over and bring my wife, my kids, my dog, my cat, my bird, my rabbit. You say, yeah, come in. Right? What is that? That is community. That is community. Felix, are you ready this winter? What are you going to do when power goes out? He's going to see me. Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Brothers and sisters, think about it. Think about it. Let's have community. Okay? Think about it. this winter, who are you going to contact? If when your power goes out, who are you going to come? Okay, I'll give my address. 41 and Newen. You better check I've got power because I might be at your door. You know, I hope among us, you know, if you're not connected, get some, you know, that's what our groups are for. We have these home groups. It's so you can get connected. Go there. Give people your number. Get some number and ask yourself, okay, when my power goes out, where am I going to go? Don't just huddle in your basement. Don't just hide in bed, you know, you and your wife, body heat. That will only last so long. Right? No, go somewhere. If you got power, invite somebody. Okay. Then don't just wait while your power goes out. You know, this time you have more time. I hope we have a lot of traffic. Let's have community among us, and let's have a community beyond us. Amen? Amen. So okay, I hope everybody, you know, if you didn't pick up a flyer, pick one up. It has phone numbers. It has emails. Okay. When your power goes out, call. You got a whole list of numbers. My wife's looking worried. You can come over. You might have to share a room with a dog, but that's okay. It'll keep you warm. Right? You know? Let's have community, brothers and sisters. Okay, I'd like to finish. You know, it's not just among us, beyond us. Ask yourself, who can I help this time of year? How can I give help to others beyond this community? Okay, I got three ways to give you, three examples. Let me see what comes up first. All right, you got it? Okay, there's that sister coming, December the 14th, Sunday, Matthew House. That sister's coming here. She has three houses. She's heading up this thing, leading three houses to take care of refugees. That's called Matthew House. She's going to come here on that Sunday, talk about how they share. If you want to support them financially, that's one way. You want to support them volunteers, cooking, helping them fix up the place. There's some examples. Matthew House. How can you help others? Here's new arrivals. They just arrive in Toronto. They don't know anything. How can we help them? Jesus says, I was a stranger. You took me in. He told Israel, welcome the stranger, foreigner, alien. Why? Because you were that. Welcome them. That's the kind of society I want. Number two, Scott Mission. Scott Mission has been around a long time. Look at that picture. That's prehistoric. Right? They've been around a long time. Downtown, Spadina, near college, right? Feeding people, feed the homeless. Okay. They do it every this time of year, right? Christmas, they're going to feed people. I think we have a picture. Okay. You go to their website. They say, you donate so much money, $4 or whatever. I've forgotten the figures. $4 gives a good meal, Christmas meal to somebody. This much gives that much, you know, so many people. Okay, how can you help? You want to help them cook? That's good. You want to help them financially so they can feed people who would not otherwise have a good meal that time of year, Christmas. Okay, third way. There's a lot of places now. This is mainly outside Canada. Give a goat. Give a goat. There are countries, India, Africa, etc. You want to help people? $11 gives them two chickens. You give them a gift, right? Don't just give them money. You give them two chickens, one goat, one cow, one water buffalo, whatever, okay? That helps them, okay? You go to the internet, you want to, right? You just Google, give a goat, Christian, you'll come up with different things, right? World Vision does it. Gospel for Asia does it. Think, how about this year? How can I help others beyond in this community, beyond this community? All right? Are we good? You know, we want to be that kind of society, that kind of people. That's the way our God is. He's generous. He gives grace, right? The way he treats us, that's the way we should treat others inside this community and outside the church community. That's the point. Okay, so ask yourself, what this next month, December, what can I do for others? What can I do to help them? What can I do to express God, the God I believe in, the God I follow, to help others? Amen. Let's just pray and we'll finish. Lord, we thank you. You're our God. You're a generous God, a loving God. You're a God of mercy, a God of justice, a God of compassion, Lord, and you chose us as your people. You forgave us, accepted us, redeemed us, and you brought us together. Lord, we thank you. We want to be right with you, live in your mercy, under your grace. Lord, we pray our community would express you to one another and to those outside. Lord, so bless us this week as we go forth. Even bless us the whole month of December. Give us all opportunities to express you, testify you, to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I think we're done. If we don't see you before, we'll see you next week.